Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
Goal. Would you stop talking so I can enjoy this peaceful game?
How peaceful can it be hacking it up all day, bud? You suck.
You're terrible.
Look, the geese.
Gooses!
They're just pheasants with better marketing.
You have a problem with a can of gooses. You got a problem with me, and I suggest you let that one marinate.
And most people don't know this, but Canada Gooses were the deciding factor in the 1995 Quebec referendum. They kept this country together.
That's not true! The geese.
Gooses!
I will call off the oiling of the goose eggs, all right? If you will leave this golf course and let the members of the Letterkenny Great Great Captain Creek Whistle Ridge Golf and Country Club play this game in peace!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning. 11:04 and 50 seconds is the time here on this kind of dreary Saturday to start.
Why wouldn't you just say 11:05, man?
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Brayton Wilson here with you on this fine Saturday. Derek Kramer is back and producing behind the board. Nate has the weekend off. He should be back next week for Sports Talk Saturday, but instead of being behind the board like I've been for the past few weeks, I'm going to be in the captain's seat today, taking you through this wonderful edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR, and it's another edition of Sports Jersey Saturday, and both Derek and I have got our jerseys on. I've got my Anaheim Mighty Ducks jersey on. Not just Anaheim Ducks. Those jerseys are very lame. The logo's very lame. No, it's the glorious Mighty Ducks logo from those teams back in the early 2000s, and a beautiful, beautiful jersey, I think, at the very least. The nice maroonish, purplish kind of color that is the, I think it was their away jersey at the time.
You can't go wrong with a Mighty Ducks jersey.
Of course not. Of course not. Like, again, if you go with a Ducks jersey, then, I mean, okay, I guess if you like bad taste, go ahead. But
I mean, that just means you're an Anaheim Ducks fan.
Yeah, and it's just, no. No, those jerseys have always been terrible. They always will be terrible. It doesn't matter how much orange or how much, like, really bad brown color you put in. It's just a terrible jersey. Derek's got his jersey on. He's got a customized Purdue jersey, which looks very, very sharp. The nice big P on the chest with the Purdue train, the Boilermakers logo on the shoulders. Nice shoulder patches there. It's a very sharp-looking jersey, and of course, you know, Jeremy White is the person that really has put together Sports Jersey Saturday, really made it a thing, and it's really started to take off, and now, I mean, Thurman Thomas is involved. He's the so-called mayor of Sports Jersey Saturday, so if you have a sports jersey that you want to wear today and you want to send a photo to us, and send it to Jeremy as well. You can tweet him at Jeremy WGR. You can tweet us at WGR550. You're more than welcome to send those in. We'll retweet it and we'll get you recognized, because some of these jerseys that come out every week, man, are just phenomenal. Someone today, Andrew, tweeted out that he's got a Karl Malone Jazz jersey on, which is just a really, really neat looking jersey. The nice throwback jersey look there. Adam's got a Nikolai Khabibulin Coyotes jersey on, which is just, in itself really, really cool. Tyler's got a Stevie Johnson signed jersey with it, why it says "Why So Serious" on it. Just some really, really cool jerseys that we continue to see down the line here throughout this throughout these weeks, these entire days that we have here. Our colleague TJ Luckman today looks like he's got a Lawyer Malloy jersey that he just tweeted out.
The Lawyer Malloy Bills jersey. Yeah. I had to give him the appreciation.
Oh, of course. Of course. We'll give anyone the appreciation. Tweet us at WGR550. Let us know what jersey you're rocking today on this fine edition of Sports Jersey Saturday. We'll get it out there. We've got a Joe Ferguson jersey that's been tweeted out. Jim has got a Matthew Barnaby Penguins jersey, which is pretty darn cool. So you're more than welcome to tweet us. You're more than welcome to let us know how you're rocking this Memorial Day weekend Saturday edition here of Sports Jersey Saturday, and also here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. So obviously there's plenty of stuff going on, maybe not so much in the football world. The football world has all of a sudden started to seem to take a little bit of a break here. It's been a long while since, you know, we've even had time to talk about hockey, just because, of course, since the season has been on hold, nothing's really been going on. And now all of a sudden, this return to play initiative is starting to pick up steam. Earlier in the week, we had the report from Elliot Freeman of the 2014 proposal, which has reportedly been accepted and approved by the NHLPA's executive committee. Only two representatives, I think, from the entire league, two teams, voted against this proposal, which I'm not sure if it was a team like the Sabres who happened to miss out on this, but, you know, two teams say no, 29 teams say yes, so they will move forward with that. They haven't officially announced anything yet, but it seems like they're going to make that announcement coming here within maybe the next week here of the official format for the Return to Play initiative. But there still is plenty of things that are going on with the Return to Play committee that they have to talk about, the league, the Players Association, lots to talk about. And we'll get more details of that when we talk to Nick Kotsunika from NHL.com. He's an NHL.com columnist. He'll join us at noon. We'll ask him plenty about the format. We'll ask him about the future of what's going to happen with the league. We'll even ask him a couple Sabres questions and get some talk in there. Derek, you looked like you had a point to make up here.
Oh, this is just a report coming from David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period, mm-hmm. saying that on the NHL draft, per an NHL source, all things draft-related are still a work in progress. A decision expected soon, but the league has not yet determined when they will host the NHL draft.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I was really looking forward to asking Kotsunika today, just because Nick has been in with what's going on with these talks with the league and with the Players Association, with the Return to Play Committee. He seems like he's got a very good hold on everything that's going on. So we'll ask him some good thoughts about what's going on there and kind of the direction the NHL is going to take here with this Return to Play initiative. Again, 24 teams are going to make their return to the NHL once they start up. They haven't officially announced any dates of when they're coming back, when phase two is going to begin. Obviously, the NHL is in phase one right now, which is lockdown still. They've been in lockdown since March 12th, and players were directed to either hang out in the cities of their host city or just go home. A lot of players, I think, chose the initiative to just return home wherever home is. I know the Sabres have a lot of players in Sweden that have returned home. I think both Jokke Haru and Ristolainen have returned to Finland. Some other players have gone back up to their cottages or homes in Canada. So the next step of this NHL's Return to Play initiative is phase two, which phase two is getting the players back from their homes, back to their host cities, where they will go into a self-quarantine for at least 2 weeks, I think maybe even 3 weeks. Then at that point, after they have that time to self-quarantine, they can start working out in small groups with their teammates at the arena or at their facilities. I don't think they could do any on-ice activities. But then once phase three starts, that's when training camp is officially allowed to open for teams that are allowed to play in this Return to Play initiative. So they'll be able to get on the ice, work out with each other, and that will last, I think, at the most 3 weeks, up to 3 weeks. And then hopefully by that point, they'll give the go-ahead to begin phase four, which is to start up games and hopefully kind of get back to some sort of realm of normalcy, even though it's going to be games in late July, most likely. Late July is when we're probably going to see the first NHL action return to the ice. And it's going to be interesting to see how this looks, just because we're going to see teams playing in the same city, the same arena, in these hub cities. They're not going to be playing in front of their home crowd. They're going to be playing without any fans in the stadium. We'll see if there's going to be anything that happens in terms of maybe crowd noise being injected. Is it going to be the same goal horn that goes off? Just little things that when you're watching your team, you kind of know, oh, hey, when we score, that's our goal song. That's our goal horn. You know, here's how our fans react. We know how loud the building is. And that's going to be all different for these teams. This is going to be a really, really fun, interesting time for the NHL and to watch what's going to happen here going forward. And unfortunately for seven markets, one including Buffalo here, those seasons are likely done. They're likely over as obviously with this 24-team format. We'll see the top four teams in each conference. Let me backtrack a little bit. With this 24-team format, it's the top 12 teams in each conference, all based on points percentage. The top four teams will have a first-round bye, so they will have a little in-conference tournament. We're not sure if that little tournament's going to dictate anything with seeding or if they're just doing it just to get themselves back on the ice and working, and then they'll have the seeds already put out there. But you got your top four seeds, and then seeds 5 through 12, they will play in that play-in round with the chance to go on to meet the top four seeds in the next round to kind of kick off that original 16 playoff format. And it's going to be – it's really going to be a interesting way that the NHL is going to carry this out. I mean, I'm personally not a big fan of this 24-team format. I think it just – at this point, you go back to, you just use the 16-team playoff format. You go from there. But I understand why the NHL is doing it. It's because they didn't get the full season in. They didn't get the chance to allow some teams to play the same amount of games. And the points percentages would be thrown off. Because I think in one points percentage situation, I think it would be Columbus would be out. And then if it was based on points, Columbus would be in. There's a few teams that would lose out on that opportunity. So this opportunity allows for those teams to be able to play for the chance to play in that 16-team playoff and go from there. And obviously, it all kind of works out in the end because, you know, the seven teams that aren't going to make it likely weren't going to make it in the first place. So it's completely understandable why this happened, but unfortunately for the Buffalo Sabres, they are out. It is likely that their season is going to be done. I don't think those seven teams are going to be playing for anything. Maybe, you know, there's talk that, oh, hey, why don't we have people play for the draft lottery, play for the first overall pick? Whoever wins this tournament amongst the worst teams gets that first overall pick and gets the chance to draft Alexis Lafreniere with that pick. And I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that you know, we've heard it from Elliot Freeman. I think we've heard it from Darren Dreger too, where the teams that are out, there were some players from those teams that said, no, we don't want to come back and play. We're done. We know the season's over. So let's just move on. We're not going to, you know, try to pursue our seasons forward anymore. And that's it. And I don't think the Sabres were necessarily one of those teams that had players that said that. I think that there were probably some guys on the team that wanted to come back and wanted to have that opportunity to maybe earn themselves a playoff chance. But at the point that the NHL is going to be coming back, which your first game action might not be till late July, maybe even early August, at that point you're not going to have time to be able to play two or three regular season games just to get to that number where everyone can be comfortable with. Because, I mean, I think the team that has played the most games is 71, so they would have had 11 games left in the regular season, and the lowest team was the Islanders. I happen to know that off the top of my head. They played 68 games. I don't think they have that time to be able to kind of get those few games in, get the same number of games played, so then they could format a playoff in that form. I just think that there wasn't enough time the way that it has to go down, because, you know, once they start this play-in, the play-in round is going to be a best of five, and then after that, everything else is a best of seven, just like a normal playoff scenario. So obviously, they didn't really necessarily have that time in order to be able to do anything to be able to allow the other teams to have any other chance. But, you know, it is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that we don't get to see Sabres playoff hockey, but certainly there were some things this season that we'll talk about in the show that, you know, did you want to see the Sabres play more hockey? Really? I mean, I know the big argument is, well, the Sabres only played 69 games while Montreal had played one more game. And what if the Sabres had won that game? They would have been tied, or two more games. Sorry. Thanks, Derek. The Canadiens played two more games than the Sabres. And what if the Sabres won both those games? And then they could have been a playoff team. Listen, the way that the season was going right after the trade deadline, they had lost six straight games and lost those games. I mean, they played okay in some of those games, but some of the other games, they were just outmatched, outclassed completely. And do we really think that if they get to the playoffs that they're going to do anything different? I mean, this is a team that's still – it's the same team that would be playing as the team that played before all this happened. There weren't anybody injured, I don't think, that would have been ready to come back. I mean, the ones that were injured on long-term IR, that was Saboka, Hunwick, and Tage Thompson, and I don't think all three of those guys would have been ready to come back. None other than that, you had maybe some guys banged up. I mean, Jack Eichel was banged up. But maybe that's the one thing. That's kind of been the story all year. I'm just here to watch Jack Eichel. I want to see him play more hockey.
Yeah, that's one part that would have been very nice to do, is see some Jack Eichel hockey again. But here's the other thing. You mentioned how bad this team did out of the trade deadline. I went back actually into Jason Botchel's career. Obviously, with the shortened March that there was here, there were still four games. They only won one of those.
Mm-hmm.
In Jason Botchel's entire tenure with the Buffalo Sabres as general manager,
mm-hmm.
they have won eight games in March.
Yeah.
Eight.
Yeah, the year before, the 2018-19 season.
They had a losing streak in March that I think last year was longer than the total of games that they've won in March. I'm going to check that real quick.
That sounds close. I think they did have a pretty long losing streak last season. But yeah, last
season.
7-8. Yeah. Last season, they only won two games in 16 games in March. They went 2-13-1 or something like that in the month of March
2-13
last year.
2-13-2.
Oof. Yeah, 2-13-2. And that's what got Phil Housley fired. That's what put Jason Botterill on the hot seat. And this year, obviously, they got out to that nice start with Ralph Krueger under, you know, at head coach, and things were looking positive again. And then, what do you know? That took a south turn real fast, and it unfortunately didn't last or end well for Buffalo. They fall out of a playoff spot. The trade deadline comes, and Jason Botterill says we want to play meaningful games in March, and the Sabres respond with six straight losses, and then they get a win against Washington, and then the season was over. Because then the coronavirus pandemic shut down the NHL season, the NBA season, the sports world. And now at this point, with how everything's starting to trend, with how COVID-19 is panning out, the leagues are now starting to become a little more progressive with their talks. And that's another point I want to bring up, the NHL and how progressive they've been, because it's actually impressive with how progressive they are being. But, with the return to play initiatives across the sports world, beginning to pick up some steam, the NHL gets this format finalized, not officially finalized, but the vote was to approve of the 24-team format, which would end the Sabres season. So,
yeah, here's another thing. It's pretty interesting that the next game that the Sabres would have played when the season got put on pause, they were in Montreal.
In Montreal, yes.
So they still would have had two games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have closed in within 1 point, then things could have been like a little more contested here.
Right.
But here's the thing for me. Yes, I would like to see more Jack Eichel. Yes, I would like to see if Victor Olofsson could end his season on a hot streak.
Right.
Yes, I would like to see if Jeff Skinner could do something again and revitalize on the first year of a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see Henry Yokiharju. I would like to see Rasmus Dahlin continuing to progress into the stalwart that we expect him to be. However, now the first question that has to come to mind to me is this. What is Jason Botchel still doing here? Because you're looking at an expanded playoff format and you miss the pity invite.
Yeah.
Because your team has no scoring depth again. You mismanaged the defensive core to the point where Zach Bogosian was actually costing you games that led to you losing a playoff spot.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's tough with this situation going on to justifiably possibly fire a guy like Jay. I mean,
I'm going in.
I mean, obviously, sure, you can go in.
I'm back and I'm bringing fire.
I just don't think that there is a lot of thought going forward with moving on from Jason Botterill. I think that the Pegulas, I think that the organization sees this as an opportunity very similar to the Bills a few years ago when Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott took over. Lots of salary cap space. You're clearing cap space to re-sign your own guys or bring in new players or draft new players, and I think that's what they're going to try and see this happen with this year. I definitely think Jason Botterill is still on the hot seat. I think that this is it for him. If he doesn't get it right this year and the team is spinning their wheels again and are not even close to a playoff spot, then obviously after next season, I think that he's going to hit the road. But right now, I just don't see how that happens. And I'm sure I'm in the minority of people here that believe that. And I just don't see how Jason Botterill gets fired even after this.
I would say
even when you have all this time to prepare for next season, because they haven't played since March. I think it was March
9th.
Okay, so that was their last game. They haven't played since March 9th, and they're probably not going to play until late December, early January next year for next season. They're going to have 9 months to prepare for this upcoming season, the 2020-21 season. They expect it to be a full 82-game season. I'm not sure how that's exactly going to work and how, you know, everyone's going to be able to stay healthy in that time, but it's still one of those things where I understand that they have all that time to prepare. But even then, it's just like, what other moves have been made around the league? I mean, there's been a couple of other executive releases. I think the Blackhawks have let go of their president of hockey operations, I think. But that's pretty much it.
They haven't
hired anybody since. There hasn't been any other coaches. Like, Gerard Gallant was reportedly in on the Devils' head coaching job. They interviewed him, but the Devils haven't hired a head coach yet. There hasn't really anything going on. And maybe that'll pick up as we go. And sure, that's fine. But I just, right now in my mind, I don't think the Sabres organization from top to bottom sees a route where they can, I don't know how I want to say this.
Oh, you can.
Because, I mean, they can. They can. Certainly they can. But I just don't think that that's their mindset. I don't think their mindset is we're going to fire another general manager. We're going to bring in someone else to hopefully turn the team around. Because, you're running and you're spinning your tires. But at the same point, I still think that there's just not really, I don't think they want to go down that road again.
There's one question.
Unless they absolutely have to.
One question I've got for you. Because you're being logical, damn it. And I want you to feel it in the chest, man. Here's what I've got for you. You've got this long offseason coming, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got a salary cap that's probably going down.
Right? According to Cap Friendly, their projected salary cap is $36.983 million.
I'm talking about the NHL salary cap.
Right. No. I understand. But the projected cap next year was supposed to be $84 million. We don't know if it's going to stay the same or if it's going to be the same as this year. But according to Cap Friendly, with the projected cap at $84 million next year, their cap space is $36.93 million.
All right. So here's my question for you. And feel it with your chest, okay? Do you want Jason Botterill running this offseason? This long offseason? Do you really want it? Do you want it? Want it to happen?
I mean, it's been a lot of misses for Jason Botterill more than hits, and it is one of the, I'm more logical here. I know that I personally don't know what I want to do.
Answer this question with emotion, dang it.
I honestly personally don't know. I don't want to go through this again.
Stop being so
level-headed. I don't
want
to have to go through any more of this ever again, Derek. I don't want to have to go through another general manager, another possible coach.
Yes,
because that general manager might want to come in and might want to have a new coach. And it's the same thing with Ralph Kruger. It's just like, hey, he comes in during the lockout short year in Edmonton, has 1 year and is up and down. Lots of up and downs with his team, with his coaching. And it was this year, lots of up and downs with this with the coaching. And are we going to see a new general manager come in? Is he going to keep Kruger? Is he going to move on from Kruger? What exactly would happen there? I just think that I don't think the Sabres want to go through anything like that again this year. Maybe heading into next, like after next season, but I just don't see how that happens. And I know you want me to speak with emotion through you know,
kind of did. I was relishing and I'm like, come on.
I don't necessarily know what I want.
I kind of got some tires spinning about how you didn't want to go through another regime change and everything like that. And I'm like, yes. Give it to me.
I don't know if I want to go through that again. I really don't.
You know someone who I don't think wants to go through it again?
Who's that?
Probably a Mr. Brian Duff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because Brian's been through enough already, but I don't know where to go with this, but, you know, it is difficult because with how everything happened in the past 3 years, there's a lot of people that are on the bandwagon of just, you know, move on from the general manager. I just don't see how that happens this year, this offseason. Even with the long extended offseason, I don't see how it happens. Derek was trying to tease Brian Duff, so, you know, we're just going to get to break because Brian Duff, Sabres MSG in-game host, is going to join us here next on WGR. We'll get his thoughts on the Sabres season that was. And as I wrote on Twitter this morning, we're pouring one out for the Sabres 2019-20 season because once this official announcement becomes official from the NHL with the 2014 playoff format, it'll pretty much end the Sabres season. So if you got any thoughts on the Sabres, if you want to call in on the Sabres or call in on what's going on in the world of hockey or anything really for that matter, football, baseball, because, you know, Korean baseball is on and everything like that, feel free to call us. 803-0550. Our toll-free number is 1-888-552-550. Brian Duff coming up next on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, time for a highlight of the night here. And this place will get loud if Rasmus Dahlin can hammer this one, and he does!
That was the last winning moment for the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin in that shootout. It was a nice little play. It was almost a little Linus Omark kind of flair where he fakes the slap shot and then just happens to slide it through the five hole. So, yeah. That was the last game the Sabres played in the 2019-20 season, and it will be the last game they play in the 2019-20 season, as after the report of the NHLPA Executive Committee approving the 2014 format, it'll end the 2019-20 season for the Buffalo Sabres. Brayton Wilson here on this Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. We're going to head out to the Western Hotline right now and bring in Brian Duff. He's the in-game host for the Sabres broadcast on MSG, and you'll find Brian doing a lot of other different Sabres-related things on Twitter, on their website, and if you don't follow him on Twitter, I don't know why you aren't, but you should, @DufferSabres. Well, Brian, thanks again for
for taking the time to join me on this Saturday morning. Hope is well with you and your family.
All good, sir. Thank you for having me on. How are you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm hanging in there, enjoying Sports Jersey Saturday as well. And I was hoping to get in a little early to catch some Korean baseball action. Unfortunately, I just missed out. Have you been paying attention to that? And have you picked a favorite team yet?
You know, as one of the world's worst sleepers, I probably should have gotten into it for many reasons, not the least of which to occupy my time during the course of the night when I'm not sleeping and or replace all the medicines I'm trying to take to get me to sleep. Perhaps that would do it. So anyway, no, I haven't yet, but I'm assuming they're still a ways away from playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, they just got restarted and ESPN had an agreement with them, but it was kind of cool because they had somebody had tweeted out a couple weeks ago when it did start up again, like the comparisons for each team, and they were going through, and some teams were compared to like the Yankees, the Twins, the Royals, the Giants, and I was waiting for the person doing that video to say, oh hey, who's compared to the Astros? I mean, is there anyone that's compared to the Astros for you? And kind of had that thought in your head, but unfortunately, there wasn't anything there.
No, and I think that's probably the reason why I haven't actually watched any baseball from any league, because the Astros have kind of soured it for me. So
yeah.
I might just move on from that sport for the foreseeable future.
Well, it's kind of hard not to blame you there, Brian. Brian Duff joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Before we get into the Sabres talk and kind of recapping this season, Brian, and getting your thoughts, I just want to get your general first take on this new 2014 format and just kind of where the direction of the NHL is heading in your mind.
Well, I'm not one to, look for angles to criticize here. I've obviously, like all of us, we've thought about and or have been asked about over the last couple of months, you know, what do you think is going to happen as far as a resumption of play, finality to the season and what have you. I never had quite the answer, and I clearly, both sides being the PA and the league, don't have all the answers yet either. I always felt that they were somehow going to be able to conclude this season. I just didn't know how, and this is a step in the right direction, but obviously there's so many things that have to be put in place, from a health standpoint and logistics standpoint still. But I honestly haven't wasted an ounce of sleep or time or whatever on the actual format. I mean, I felt they were going to get it done. Do you stand back now and look at it and go, oh, what if, and could the Sabres have had, you know, a different opportunity? I don't worry about stuff like that. I mean, it is what it is. Your record is your record. You have only yourself to blame, and that applies to every single team in every single position.
Right.
And there's just, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? And I looking back through the season, I honestly thought, Brayton, when I hopped on today, I thought you were going to start with, what's the one game you would like to have back? I honestly thought you were going to put me on the spot that way.
Hey, I'll ask, what is the one game you want to have back then?
Well, there were too many stretches, obviously, that all get, lumped together. Mm-hmm. There was after the great start, there was the terrible November. There was the mid to end December run that I lean towards New Year's Eve and 4-1 against Tampa and losing 6-4 in regulation. Like that's about as hard as, Jack was phenomenal. The building was buzzing. Like it was just like, and then it happened and you're like, how could this possibly have happened?
Yeah.
But then there was the All-Star break, and you come out of the All-Star break with 5 games against non-elite opponents, save for Colorado, and you win 1 out of the 5 at a time when Buffalo was a top 5 home team in the NHL.
Yeah.
It all got away from them in that one, including a loss to Detroit beyond regulation time. And then, as we all know, the post-trade deadline of 6 straight losses after the team was 6-2-1 in the previous 8 games. There were so many of these moments that the cynics would say, oh, you could have projected this. But I think the other way to look at it is, when things were going so well, why did it drop off as badly as it did? Was it goaltending? Was it lack of secondary scoring? Was it their five-on-five play or their underwhelming overall play from the defense corps? There are a lot of ways you can look at this, right? So I think it's really hard to pick one, but I think emotionally, like if you were to just sit in a building and feel what you were feeling, I honestly think the New Year's Eve one, because it left so many people speechless.
Yeah.
Coming, and that's, you know, I mean, all due respect to Tampa, obviously they're an elite team, but that just, it just couldn't happen, and it did.
Yeah, I remember that game in particular too, out of many of the games that happened this year. 69 in total. I remember that one game just because the team looked so dominant through the first two periods, and right after Jack Eichel scored, building maybe was as loud as I had heard it all year. One of the best goals you'll see Jack Eichel score all season, maybe not in his entire career. And then from there, it just completely fell apart, and it just looked like it was a totally different team that stepped onto the ice right after that goal. It just kind of encapsulated how not only just the season went as a whole, just, you know, just how things have been going over the past several years for the Sabres. But
yeah,
it's, you know, and Derek and I were kind of discussing this here just because it's another three seasons under Jason Botterill where, you know, the team has kind of floundered in the basement and they've been spinning their tires all this time. And I'm in the mindset of, I don't know if I really want to go through another regime change. However, nothing's really changing here. But at the same point, I know you've got all this time, but I don't really know where to go with the direction of this team, just because I don't think the organization wants to go through another GM change, another coaching change. They've done it so many times since the 2012-13 lockout shortened season. They've done it so much. And I think at some point, the organization has to kind of sit back and think, we just have to make something work. We have to figure something out.
I agree. It's really hard to be patient when you're in the position they're in. And it's not a word that anyone wants to use or try to accept. So what do you do then? There are any number of things that can be done roster-wise, given, it's not always just about, you know, expiring contracts. It's about being bold, again, with what you have and believing in the direction you have to go. And if ever there was a time to be bold again, now is that time. And at first blush, often, you know, people are, you know, based on the marketplace and where they've been the last 9 years, you know, if they make a bold move or two, I'm going to bet that the instant reaction is going to be negative. But people need to remind themselves that change has to happen here.
Right.
And, it's impossible to speculate right now because we don't know how the draft is going to play out, the order, all that kind of stuff. There's just a lot of dominoes to fall, right? What is the cap going to be at? And, you know, then you still have to look down the road to the Seattle expansion too, which is kind of part of the equation when you're moving parts. You want to make sure that you've kept the right ones in place that you can protect and not put yourself, at a numerical disadvantage, right? Where you bring a guy in and then it's like, oh, well, this could compromise our plan moving forward, right? So, and again, those are situations where you only lose one guy, so we tend to make a bigger deal out of it than maybe we should. But these are all things that have to be considered. And I just think that they're in a position where they've got to do something bold here. And is that at forward? Is it at goaltending? Is it at, you know, do they move off of a young defenseman? I don't know.
Right.
It's going to be really, 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 really interesting here. But I mean, when you go through the numbers of the season, it's hard to hang your hat on one particular one that you would say, okay, well, this is a positive that we work from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not individual guys. Like, obviously, Jack and Darlene, like, they're untouchable. We get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the team rankings and at the most basic of levels, not even diving deeper in from an analytics standpoint, like they are what they are. It goes back to what I said, they literally are what their record is, and that's why I can't lose sleep about, oh well, you know, they should have been allowed to play those two extra games on Montreal. No, their rankings have them basically exactly where they should be in the standings right now. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm exactly on the same boat where you are there with how that kind of whole thing works out. A few more minutes here with Brian Duff, Sabres in-game host on MSG, joining us here on the Western Hotline. Brian, let's talk about some positives with this team. I mean, despite all the negatives and the discussions of, you know, what needs to change and what has to happen in order for them to kind of regain some notoriety in the league, let's talk about some of the positives. Obviously, Jack Eichel had another MVP caliber type of season. He'll probably not get enough credit for what he did this year, despite the Sabres being where they are in the standings. But what are some of your other positive takeaways from this season that was for Buffalo?
Well, I mean, it's a hard one only, Brayton, because I don't know how much people want to hear about, you know, certain things maybe behind right. the scenes that didn't translate to on-ice success.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there has been a maturity among very important people within the group, Jack specifically. You know, and that this is, it's not the end of the racetrack for sure. I mean, everybody has room to grow, and greats of the game will always tell you that you can take something from every season, no matter whether you're 5 years or 15 years into your career. But I do like a lot of that stuff, but it's hard to go beyond that. I mean, did we see certain role players perhaps excel to a level that some didn't expect? Yes, but I'm reluctant to put too much in the way of glowing words or, you know, even comparisons to where they had been. Like for guys like Larson, Gergensen, Zapozo. Like I like that Kyle had a role. And going into the season, we all know what his contract is moving forward. But again, he's one of those guys that you know where he's at. And it's like, I don't need him to live up to the dollar figure anymore. What I need yeah. is for him to play on a line that consistently outplays the line that they're up against. And that's how you win, right? Like you have to win at every line. And they might have won on line one most nights, and they might have won on the fourth line most nights. But they didn't win on lines two and three, which gives you a very poor chance of winning, right? Because those guys are going to see more ice time. And so, yes, I liked what we saw from the quote-unquote Larson line. I don't know, you know, whether it was numerically the fourth or the third or what have you, but the overall lack of production from the second and third lines is, I think, probably the biggest reason why this team didn't take the step forward.
No.
It starts with, obviously, a massive drop-off in Jeff Skinner's game, but is that because they didn't have an adequate second-line center? Probably, you know, and there's things to like about their group. I just don't know how much, you know, people want to stray in that direction right now, as opposed to addressing what needs to happen. And honestly, like, there are so many simple, I say simple, they're not simple, obviously, it's professional hockey and it's not easy. But if you simply went from, you know, 30th on the penalty kill up to 15th, you'd probably be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer that the penalty kill is an area of the game that should be, it shouldn't be as hard as what Buffalo made it out to be. My goodness, they were under 70% on the road at killing penalties.
Yeah.
Like, those are almost impossible to believe numbers.
Yeah, they're
and,
not good.
And you know, and honestly, with the skill set they have, their power play shouldn't be 20th either. So right there, and I get it, the hot start of the season, you know, people were worried because, oh, it's being done on the back of the power play. And they were right. You know, I mean, they ended up relying on the power play too much. Like, even when they went in the six-game tailspin before the final game of the year against Washington, their power play was in another 0-for funk for those six games. They clearly needed the power play to win games because they weren't deep enough or successful enough at 5-on-5 scoring beyond Jack's line.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, those are the areas where I think, you know, you those are the areas that people should be talking about and want to be talked about right now.
Last thing I'll ask you, Brian, with looking ahead to next season, obviously, there's going to be a few names that are going to be to watch heading into the makeup of next year's roster. Obviously, I think Dylan Cousins is right up there at the top, but just want to get your thoughts on maybe some of the new faces that we'll see within the organization, because we don't know what they're going to do free agency-wise or trading-wise or even draft-wise for that matter, but some of the notable names that are already within the organization, who do you think are the names to watch?
Well, Dylan is top of the list. There's no question. And that's because at this point, based on how they've often, handled Europeans coming over, I think it would be tough to assume that that Ruotsalainen is going to be making the NHL squad right away. He could, but I'm not banking on that right now, just based on the patient approach that they've taken with guys coming over. I think Asplund showed well, but he's going to have a knock-em-out training camp and preseason to, I think, make the team again. Again, this largely depends on, who is retained. There's no question. So I think the brightest spot is clearly Cousins, and I know people are going to always differ on this as to whether he should jump in or whether he should go back to junior, but I think Cousins will have the skill set required to not obviously play high-end minutes at this point, but I think he's good enough that he can be better than what they've had deeper in the roster in the last few years. So I think Cousins is the most significant one, barring what I think is an inevitable big deal, right? Like whoever they bring in a big deal, like,
yep,
is obviously going to be the talking point, but then Cousins would be next. And then, again, what do you get out of Tage Thompson and Casey Mittelstadt?
Yeah.
Because organizationally, you feel like the club is still projecting them to be significant moving forward. And I loved chatting with Tage just a couple of weeks ago when we've been doing these Skype sessions with the guys and posting them on social. And hey, it's really hard to assess for a kid that hasn't been on the ice now in like 6 months. But the fact that maybe one of the hardest things for Tage to do, although he was advancing at a slower pace than what he would have liked, was putting on the weight and the muscle. And even though he had shoulder surgery, he's up to 225 pounds right now. When you compare that to when he was drafted, like, this is a significant physical change in a young man.
Yeah.
And obviously he hasn't been able to put it to the test with on-ice skating right now, but these are things that I think are necessary for Tage to feel like he can be what they want him to be. So if he gets to the right place and then finds the right chemistry with somebody and takes this incredible, sadly, learning experience of this last year, but to his benefit of all this time off the ice, I honestly, like, I think, I don't know whether people are going to not like hearing this, but I think Tage could have a greater impact on the team coming into next year than Mittelstadt.
Hmm.
So that's just how I'm thinking today, And again, it's impossible to project because we always sit there with these line charts in our mind or on a big board. And when you don't have like the second or the third hole center, it's hard to project where some of these guys are going to be able to find success. I'm optimistic for Tage. I don't know what that means. I'd like to think that maturity and physical growth is going to help him moving forward here.
Well, Brian, best wishes to you and your family, obviously, during these times. And, obviously things are starting to reopen, and hopefully soon enough we'll get the chance to talk in person again and get the chance to enjoy some hockey once more. Thanks again for coming on today, and stay safe.
Yeah, best to you and Derek and the whole crew over there at GR, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Ryan Duff joining us here on the Wester Hotline. We'll step aside and we'll take a break, and we'll come back and get you ready for Nick Kotsenik at noon here on WGR. My thanks again to Brian Duff, who joined us on the Wester Hotline to talk a little bit about the Sabres this past season, even looking a little ahead into the future. And obviously, the NHL with their 24-team return to play playoff proposal, that's going to be approved at some point officially by the NHL and the NHLPA, and that'll be just one of the first steps in order to get towards that final goal of getting together for the rest of the season. So, unfortunately, the Sabres season will likely be over after this. I don't think they'll be getting together to play any more games. But we'll get more on the upcoming NHLPA's decision on the playoff format and more from the NHL with Nick Kotsenika, columnist from NHL.com. He joins us next here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.